Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning continues our look at Revelation. Today we look at chapter 21. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt, he did so by sending 10 plagues upon the people of Egypt. Do you remember the 10 plagues? First, the water turned to blood. Then the land was overrun by frogs. Next came an infestation of flies and gnats. Then all the livestock died. After that, painful boils afflicted the people. That was followed by hailstones that came down from heaven that killed animals and people who were outside. It destroyed crops. And after that, there was a plague of locusts that took care of whatever crops were not taken out by the hail. And then came the darkness. And finally, the firstborn were killed. If you had to choose just one of those plagues to endure, which one would you pick? Now, none of them are appealing. They are plagues, after all. But doesn't the darkness seem the most harmless? I mean, after all, how bad could that really be? And I think initially that's the one that most of us would pick until you think about the previous 8 plagues. The cumulative effect of those previous 8 plagues had left the Egyptians physically and emotionally beaten down and completely destitute. The land had been completely stripped of all of its crops. There was no food left. You've got all of that death and destruction, all of that rot that's there, and now the people are stuck in the darkness, completely confined to their homes, completely unable to do anything. 3 straight days of hunger. Paralyzed by darkness, paralyzed by fear, with nothing left but your own thoughts. It was worse than anything that they had experienced before. Now, to be honest, when I asked myself that question, I initially chose the darkness too. And the more I think about it, the more disturbed I am, the more bothered I am by it. Why was I so quick to embrace the darkness? 99 times out of 100, darkness is not pictured as a good thing. The Bible regularly uses pictures of darkness to describe ignorance or evil or death and sin. We use darkness in a very similar way, don't we? We talk about someone who is depressed or sad as being in a dark place. We talk about evil things and describe them as dark. The darkest color is black, which is associated with mourning and death and sin. And that's what makes our lesson today so important, because the opposite of darkness is light. And that's exactly how Jesus is revealed to us today. Today we see Jesus as the light of heaven. May the Holy Spirit bless us today as we ponder this picture. And may we be blessed with all that the light has to offer. Today we're actually going to start with the last 2 verses of our lesson. John writes, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God has given it light, and the Lamb is its lamp." John is seeing here in chapter 21 a picture of heaven. He's seeing a picture of the new Jerusalem. And as he looks at the city, he's shocked to find out that there's no temple. There was no specific place to gather to be in God's presence. And that shocked John because God's people had always had that place, whether it was the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple or in Jerusalem. God had always designated a place where his presence would dwell with his people, but not in heaven. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Why no temple? That there's no need. God's physical presence is not confined to one specific place. It would fill all of heaven. God's presence would be everywhere, and so there would be no reason for a temple because essentially they had turned all of heaven into the temple, into the place where they could dwell with God. John goes on, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it because the glory of God has given it light and the Lamb is its lamp. Every single group of people who has ever lived on this planet has understood the importance of the sun. Cultures have worshipped the sun. From the beginning of time, they have understood how important it is to have the sun to give heat and light. Life could not exist without the sun. There'd be no way that they could survive, never mind thrive. And so John hears that in heaven, the sun is not necessary. Why? Because the glory of God and the Lamb will provide everything in place of the sun. And that leads us to ask the question, what does light really give us? What exactly is that light of heaven going to provide? Well, the first thing that light provides is life. Light is necessary for life as we know it. When you take light away, you take light's life-giving qualities away. Think about what happens to plants when they don't get enough sunlight. Eventually, they will shrivel up and die. Think about what happens to human beings when they don't get enough light. Serious physical and psychological damage can take place. And even on a much smaller scale, just think about how people behave and act when the sun doesn't shine, when it's cloudy for a month. They're generally gloomy. I don't know how many people said to me this morning, hope the sun comes out today. What a day we had yesterday, right? We want another one because we need that light of the sun. And that's just the physical part of light. The Bible regularly describes the world that we lived in as covered in a shroud of darkness, spiritual darkness. And that darkness exists because of sin. Living in spiritual darkness is the natural state of every single person born into this world. And if nothing changes, that darkness leads to eternal death. But something did change. God gave us his light. God gave us his light not by taking us out of the darkness, but by entering into our darkness. God sent his son Jesus into the darkness of this world as the light. Jesus was enveloped by the darkness of our death. Jesus was oppressed by the darkness of our ignorance. Jesus experienced the darkness of our evil. He took it all upon himself, and so it was only fitting that the sun refused to shine as Jesus was forsaken by his Father as he paid for the world's sins. Jesus went into the darkness. He became the darkness so that we could have life. So that we could be the light. The light of heaven gives us life. But that's not the only blessing that we receive from the light of heaven. The light of heaven also provides knowledge. Regularly, we will speak of people who are ignorant or who don't know what's going on as being in the dark. And that's where our world is. One of the great questions that the world has never been able to answer on its own is, why do I exist? They can't find meaning for life. They search for answers like someone blindly groping around in the dark. And that's our condition by nature too. Our sins are so serious that they have placed us in the dark. We are like those Egyptians, confined to their homes, completely paralyzed, unable to do anything. And that's our condition spiritually by nature too. We are completely helpless. But again, Jesus stepped in. And what we would never have discovered on our own because of the darkness of our sin, Jesus has revealed to us. He has shown His light on us. He has given us what we need. He has given us the knowledge that points to Him and what He has done. He has revealed Himself as the way to heaven. He guides us with His light on the path that leads to our heavenly home. And when we reach that heavenly home, our knowledge will be complete because Jesus will continue to be the light of heaven. And it's because Jesus has given us life, and it's because Jesus has given us that knowledge, that what John sees earlier in chapter 21 is true. John says, "The angel carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God. Its radiance is similar to a very precious stone, like crystal clear jasper. It has a large high wall. It has 12 gates. 12 angels are at the gates, and the 12 names are engraved on the gates. The names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. 3 gates are on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The city's wall also has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the Lamb's 12 apostles." John sees the bride of Christ. He sees the church triumphant, and he sees her shining with the glory of God. He sees her fully protected, completely safe. My friends, what John sees is us. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church triumphant. We are holy and glorious. We are radiant and shining like precious stones. That's who Jesus has made us to be. Where do you turn when it feels like the darkness of your sins are overwhelming you? When you watched that video, you know you shouldn't. When you had more than just one too many. When you can't let go of the anger and the bitterness, where do you turn? Jesus shows us today to turn to Him, to the light. And He reminds us again today that there is no darkness when we dwell in Him. We are that beautiful bride. Where do you turn when you encounter evil in this world? Where do you turn when tragedy strikes? When the job disappears? When the world is beating you down? Where do you turn? You turn to Christ, the light of heaven, who reminds us again today that He has overcome the world. That we are perfectly protected on every side because of the light of heaven. May God help us all to flee the darkness and bask in that light of heaven. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.